In Parshas Pinchas, we have the dividing up of the land of Eretz Yisrael. And what was the method, of course, that was used to divide up the land? The Goral. And the question is, what is the status of a Goral in Halacha? In other words, you know, when it comes to lotteries and things like that, lots drawing lots and signs and omens and divinations and all this kind of stuff, we find that in general the halacha is not excited about it. And in fact, amongst the goyim, it's very commonplace that they have all sorts of signs. Like, for example, if a black cat will cross your path, that's not a good omen. And all this is prohibited according to halacha. So if you take a look at the second paragraph on your page, it says that these various simanim, which are implemented by the goyim in order to determine what the future holds in store for us, and he says that even with regard to the Jewish people, we find certain simanim. He quotes the Gemara in Sukkah, that if you have a likui chama, oh, how are you doing that? What's a likui? Does anybody know what the English word for likui is?
Eclipse.
Eclipse, exactly. So a solar eclipse is a good sign for the mazel of Klal Yisrael, whereas a lunar eclipse is a bad sign, a bad omen. And you find that even in generations not so long in the past, there were gedolei hadoros that were using gorolos. And that's the famous Goral Agra, for example, which is attributed back to the Gaon. In fact, I think Rabbi Aryeh Levin, if you ever heard of him, the Yerushalmi Tzaddik, he used the Goral Agra. And not only that, they
say... Is that the Tanakh one?
Yeah, with the Tanakh. It's very complicated how to do it. There are a lot of rules and regulation. I wouldn't recommend you doing it unless you know the rules very well. And even then, I'm not sure. There's a case of Rabbi Aaron Cutler when he was trying to decide whether to go to America and establish a yeshiva there or not. So he opened the Chumash, a Tanakh, and it came out to the pasuk that said that Aaron went out to greet Moshe, and Rabbi Moshe Feinstein was already in America. So he took that as a sign that he's meant to go. So the question is, how to integrate this with a rule that's formulated by the Torah in Dvarim Yudches, which means don't rely on omens and on signs, but rather have trust and faith in the Almighty. So we want to start our discussion with a certain overview from Rav Yaakov, the Balaturim, the son of the Rush, in his Tzava, and this is quoted by one of the contemporary poskim called the Ayelet HaShachar. And he writes, V'hizayer, a person should be very careful, Shetia im Hashem Yisbarach Tamim, a person should always be whole with Hashem. V'lo tavid b'divrei chalomos, and not to be depressed by bad dreams. This is the paragraph number 4 on your page 1. And not to rely on any sort of nichush. Nichush means signs. V'lo tishal lechozim, and not to go to these stargazers, you know, and ask them, well, what does the future have in store for me? V'lo tashla gorolos, and not to throw lots. V'lo binikudos. I'm not sure what he means by nikudos. I have a feeling something like balls. They used to throw balls in different directions, see where they last. I'm not sure where they
dice.
Last. Dice, maybe dice. Ki akol hevel. And we're going to see this in the Rambam over and over again. That the Rambam says that all this is ridiculous, it's vanities, and it's a result of a lack of bitachon, and we should have total reliance on Hashem levado, and God will help us. And he quotes a Gemara in Brachos that Abai Verava went to try to interpret dreams. How do we explain that? He says, Afal Pisha Holchu Lishol, even though they asked for an interpretation of Pitaron of their dreams, Now this principle that they didn't act based on their interpretation of the dreams is going to be a key pivotal breakthrough, and we'll see it over and over again in the Rambam and elsewhere, in the Poskim, in the Shulchan Aruch, that there's a difference between omens and signs that you rely on for the future, and you determine, you know, what you're going to do. That's really prohibited. That's really problematic, as opposed to omens that might interpret the past and tell me that I was blessed, or I was this, I was that. So keep this in mind. Okay. Now, if you take a look on the bottom paragraph on your first page, he speaks about a machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban. And that's going to be very important for us. This mitzvah of Tamim Tia Im Hashem Elokecha, which means to have total reliance on God, is that a mitzvah to be incorporated in the Taryag, in the 613? And the Rambam omits it, and you can guess that the Ramban is going to critique the Rambam for having left it out. And in the Shichachas Mitzvos Aseh, and here we're turning to the flip side, to page 2, which is Mitzvah Ches, the Ramban insists that we count the mitzvah of Tamim Tia Im Hashem Elokecha. And on this mitzvah, the Ramban, authored an entire essay, which is published in the Kitvei Ramban. It's called Toras Hashem Tmima. And in that essay, he writes that this isur applies even with regard to kochavim o mazolos. Okay, now let's take a step back over here. You know, we have the astrological system, the constellations, the way the stars move. And there are those who predict the future based on looking into the stars. Now, is that a science? Or is that just what we call in America bunk? You know, it's just hogwash. It's not truth at all.
Well, it must be a science, no? Because we have Bilam Balak, like...
Right, I'm not sure if Bilam and Balak were based on gazing at the stars, but you're right, there is something in Bilam about knowing which hour is a good hour and which is a bad hour. That's called Shat Hazam. But as far as horoscopes and the like, you know, looking at the stars in order to determine your future, and there are people, by the way, who even in dating will try to figure out if she is born under the right star for him and he under the right star. I mean, I'm telling you, there are wild things going on out there.
In modern times? Most other things, because people born under a certain star, born during a certain time of the year, may have different personalities. And
right.
You can check whether the personalities are not.
Right, whether there's a possible integration of two personality traits.
This goes on nowadays, you said?
And this is going on even to this day. I mean, Aaron, you probably don't know this, but there are magazines that are very popular, almost as popular as Glide, that have horoscopes. And people will buy these magazines to read about their future, and they'll make determinations based on this.
In the Jewish world also?
Well, I don't know about the Jewish world. I don't know if anyone... Oh yeah, the Jewish newspapers?
No, LA Times.
Israeli newspapers have it.
Yeah, LA Times, you know, for...
But Jewish newspapers too?
Israeli newspapers, I don't know how Jewish they are.
Oh, okay. Now I'm talking about someone who's a Shomer Torah Mitzvah, whether he's doing these kinds of astrological calculations, I don't know.
Isn't it like Kochot HaTum'ah,
which... Oh, so this is going to be a debate between the Rambam and the Ramban. The Rambam's opinion is this is all meaningless. It's all sheker. It all comes from Avodah Zarah, from idol worship. But Nachmanides, in his commentary on the Torah, and we've mentioned it many times in the past, believes in the constellations, meaning when God divided up the various nationalities in different lands, the Ramban's opinion is that God delegated authority to various stars and constellations for each one of those nations, with the exception of one nation and one country on the face of the earth, and that's Eretz Yisrael. But all other countries have these delegates. Of course, above these delegates are the Malachi Elyon, you know, the higher celestial angels, and above, of course, the angels is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He ultimately controls everything. But according to the Ramban, there is such a thing as a science of astrology, which is absolutely valid. And the Rambam completely denies this. And you and I would think, probably, intuitively, that the truth is with the Rambam, because we're big Rambam fans. But if you go historically amongst the Rishonim, it seems that a large percentage of the Rishonim accepted the view of the Ramban. Now watch this. The Ramban is going to say the following. That although the science of astrology is reliable, for those who know, you know, the real experts, nevertheless, even though it doesn't fit under any of the lavim which prohibit us from going to Ma'oninim and Menachshim, you know, Nichush and Onot, all these things are prohibited under separate lavim, and those lavim apply to omens and divinations and, you know, future, you know, soothsayers and those who look at crystal balls and all the other kinds of sorcerers. Those are prohibited under separate lavim. But what about the science of astrology, which is reliable in the Hashkafa of the Ramban? That comes under the prohibition of Tamim Tia Im Hashem Elokecha. And that's an Isra Aseh, which means we're not allowed to invite, or what word am I looking for? We're not allowed to seek out these stargazers in order to tell us about the future. We have to be relying totally on Hashem. He will determine the future. And that's the Midah of Tamim Tiyem Hashem Elokecha. Therefore the Ramban accuses the Rambam of omitting a mitzvah in Taryag, namely Tamim Tiyah. The Rambam himself holds that Tamim Tiyah does not expand or innovate or introduce any new prohibitions, because stargazing and astrology and all the like are included under the lavim of Ma'onen and Menachesh. And therefore the Rambam maintains that Tamim Tia Im Hashem Elokecha is what's called a mitzvah klolis. The Rambam in Shroshim, in the ninth Shoresh, has what's called a mitzvah klolis. If the Torah says something about, in a general sense, about how we should serve Him and rely on Him and so forth and so on, that's not counted in the Taryag.
So, can I ask a question?
Yeah, please.
So if it's about Tamim Tiyem Shem Elokecha, so maybe...
Which sheet are you going with? The Rambam or the Rambat? You know, just so I have my head...
The one that astrological is correct.
It's reliable. That's the Ramban sheet, are you right?
Yeah, it's reliable, but we just don't know... We don't want to know the future. So maybe Dor HaShanim is bad as it is because you're checking about something that's going to be in the future and you need to be Tamim Tiyem Hashem Elokecha.
Well... You see, the Ramban holds. You know, keep in mind, the Ramban was the Ramban was a doctor. He was a physician, and the Ramban holds that Rapo Yerape is not only a permission; it's not only something that we're allowed to do and confer with the medical experts to see what's healthy and what's not healthy. The Ramban maintains that it's a mitzvah; it's an obligation, a chovah. We have to do whatever we can to use medical science to determine what's healthy for us and what's not healthy for us. And Ramban, as a physician, was very outspoken about this. The Ramban holds, by the way, but that's for a different time if we have a discussion, that in the ultimate Yemos HaMashiach, the world of Achrit HaYomim, then we won't need physicians. You know, the Ramban has written himself off a job because Hashem will take care of us completely, and we can rely on a miraculous, supernatural world. But in this world, as we know it today, we have to take our advice from the world of science. The Ramban, by the way, holds that if an astrologer would tell you that, you know what, things are not going well for you, Chas v'Shalom, you know, that there's a bad decree, I can see it in the movement of the stars, then if that information was unsolicited, which means you didn't ask the person, you just got the information, he decided to offer you this information knowing, you know, your constellations and whatever the astrological studies are, then the Ramban says you have to take precautions. Once that information is on your desk and you know it to be reliable, because again, according to the Ramban, astrology is reliable, you have to take precautions. You have to be marbe b'tshuva, and you have to do more mitzvos, and your prayers have to reflect the fact that you know that there's some bad, you know, decree that's hovering over your head. But to initiate the process of asking for that divination, which is not based on science or medicine, that comes under Tomim Tiyam Shamal Kecha. But at the same time, and that's where Dorei Sharim comes in, you have to do your maximum effort to clarify with the science of medicine what is the healthiest thing for you to do.
What's the difference?
Well, yeah, if the Ramban is saying that the divination, the astrological science is just as much of a science as anything else, just as reliable as anything else, why is that out and genetic testing is in? And you know, in a few years we'll have genetic testing that's not even for medical things. We'll just be like, oh, you know.
Because genetic testing, Jonathan, is not a matter of predicting the future. Genetic testing, maybe it will be, but I'm saying in terms of Dorei Sharim, your question about Dorei Sharim, I'm sorry, I forgot your first name.
Michal.
What Michal was asking about Dorei Sharim, that's something that doesn't come under predicting the future. That comes under a situation which I'm facing now. And therefore, medical science is going to determine whether this is a healthy path or not a healthy path. But in terms of trying to, you know, be what we call in Yiddish an Iver Chacham, you know, I'm smarter than everyone else because I'm going to tell you what's going to happen down the line, that I'm not allowed to do. I have to have a certain reliance on Hashem. If the information is on my desk, then the Ramban holds that I have to be very careful about that and take precautions. The Rambam, on the other hand, again, I don't want to, you know, the main point of my class today was on the Rambam Shita. You know, the Ramban is sort of secondary. The Rambam Shita is that the whole thing is, pardon the expression, rubbish, as the Brits would say. There's nothing here to rely on. And therefore, if you take a look at the second paragraph on your second page, quoting the Megillat Esther, who is the super commentary on the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos, we should not be counting Tomim Tiyam Hashem Elokecha in Taryag, because it doesn't add any new prohibition. It's what you call an Isur Klali. It's a general Isur, but it doesn't engender any new prohibitions. Every single case of trying to understand the future based on omens and sign readings and astrological, all that, according to the Rambam, comes under two lavim, explicit lavim in the Torah. And therefore, take a look in the third paragraph on your page. The Rambam says at the end of the 11th chapter, that's where all these Isurim are formulated by the Rambam, of Hilchos Avodas Kochavim, and it's interesting how the Rambam deliberately chose to codify these laws in Hilchos Avodas Kochavim, because the Rambam holds that all of these influences start with the idol worshippers. They were influenced by all these sorceries and predictions and all these omens and so forth. And now, unfortunately, we are being, so to speak, influenced and impacted by the Ovdei Avodah Zarah. And therefore the Rambam codifies, Asur likvoa yom o sha'a la'atzlacha. It is absolutely forbidden to determine that a certain day or a certain hour is successful, or lehepach, or the opposite, it's not going to be successful, but rather it's a bad time. Alpi it's tagninus, based on astrology. You remember that Avraham Avinu was told, say, the Chazal say, Tse achutza means tse mitztagninus shalcha, and in the Pirush HaMishnayis in Avodah Zarah, the Rambam says that any sort of stargazing or horoscope or whatever you call it comes under the Isur Nichush. Nichush literally means to find omens and bad signs. And here's another son of the Rosh. This is not Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Yehuda, the son of the Rosh. That's a brother to Rabbi Yaakov. And he says that even though the Rambam only, in the Pirush HaMishnayis, only explicitly mentions Nichush, but it really comes under two Isurim, and that is the Isur of Ma'onein as well. So according to the Rambam, any sort of use of horoscope to predict the future and tell me when it's a good time or a bad time, that comes under two lavim in the Torah. Rabosai, you don't want to mess around with two lavim.
Don't we?
So with all the respect to the newspapers and all these magazines and the stargazers and so forth, my humble recommendation, again, I'm not here to influence you because you have your own Rebbeim here, but I only come once a week here to talk to you at Glide. I would say stay far away from all this kind of horoscope stuff.
Don't we kind of do that already in Judaism? where we have the month of Av, right? That like we're not supposed to, you know, go have judgments or court cases or stuff
with non-Jews,
and the whole idea of months is like based off of the astronomy and like the stars. So like,
I don't know if it's based exactly on the stars. It may be based on events that happen in Jewish history. But your question is an excellent one.
No, but the whole order of the months is because of the way the stars and the earth and the sun rotate.
Well, you mean because we believe in a lunar calendar. Is that
right?
Right.
So, you know,
the Torah says that the sun and the moon were meant l'mo adam u'l'chadashim.
No, but
the fact that our calendar goes after the lunar months, I don't think that proves your point. But your point is well taken. We do find it wasn't just Haman, although he made a mistake about Chodesh Adar, but it's even in Chazal, where Chazal pinpoints certain times of the year that are more, shall we say, positive in terms of the impact. And I'll tell you the truth, Aaron. Your question goes even further than that. As we'll soon see, we're going to have a barrage of questions on the Rambam. Because it's not just Abai Verava who went to interpret dreams. We're going to see in the Gemara in Chulin, for example, that many of the Tanoim and Amoraim seem to have used signs to make determinations. So, for example, the Gemara is going to talk about situations in which, in fact, Yonasan ben David himself had a sign. When he went out to battle, he wanted to know what the enemy was going to say if he approached them with a peace offer and so forth and so on. So let's spend about 5 minutes, Rabosai, going through the sources. You're going to see some amazing things that really present a major problem for the Rambam. In the short amount of time that I have, it's the Rambam at the end of Perek Yud Aleph, which, as I told you, is dedicated to these laws, right? This is his very famous, like, magnum opus, you know, his overview on all these issues. And he says, Dvarim Elu, after speaking about Nichush and Ma'onein and Kishuf and stargazes and divinations and all the like, Kulam Divrei Sheker V'Chazavein. It's all a bunch of bunk. Don't rely on it. Don't believe in it. V'Heim Shehitu Ben Ovdei Kochavim. And these sorcerers had an impact on the original idol worshippers in the Goye HaRotzos. And then, Ein Royal Yisrael, we, the Jewish people, are Chachamim Mechukamim, Lehimashech Bahavolim Elu. We should not be influenced and attracted, allured, to accept these beliefs. V'lo lahalos alev sheyesh toeles bahen. And not even to allow it to enter into our minds that there is meaning to them. Kilo nachash be Yaakov lo kesem be Yisrael kol amamin bedvarim elu v'chayotze behen u'machashev belibo shein emes v'divrei chokma. A person might think, okay, you know what? I believe in all this stuff, but you know what? I'm not going to rely on it. I'm not going to seek out these individuals who will predict the future. Why? HaTorah asrasam, because the Torah says it's prohibited. You know, it's like Gzeiras HaKosav. The Torah, he says, Einam ela min hascholim umechasrei adas. A person who says, yeah, there is something to this, but the Torah prohibited, he's lacking in das. Aval bali chokhma, those who have wisdom, utmimei adeos, yedu berayos brusha kol elu advarm shasra Torah. Why did the Torah prohibit it? Einam divrei chokhma, because this is not based on wisdom. There's no science over here, says the Rambam. Ela tohu vehevel, again, he goes on and on. Tomim Tia, according to the Rambam, is not to be counted in Tayag, but it does give us a very important philosophy, Ashkofet, towards all this whole area of lotteries and divinations and horoscopes and omens and everything. That's all a bunch of sheker v'chazov. We should not believe in it for 1 second. The Rambam is about outspoken about this, as you can imagine. And therefore, the Rambam says we would be idiots if we believed in the truth of these systems, and we should absolutely reject them. That's the opinion of the Rambam. Again, you always get the impression that the Rambam is fighting a battle here against the Ramban. Again, the Ramban is later than the Rambam, not much, but a little bit later. But all the antecedents of the Ramban and those who adopted all the belief in all these powers. He says these were sorcery powers that ultimately impacted on the idol worshippers, and Chas v'Shalom, he says, heaven forbid, for the Jewish people of Chachamim, ki chafmaska bivinaskem, to believe in any of this stuff. Is the Rambam the well-accepted opinion? I'm not sure. In the bottom of your page 2, he quotes the Ramban, and the Ramban says that ha'osim v'sho'alim al pi chachmas it's tagninus, a person who... Okay, there's a question he had interpreted the Ramban here, but Einam over mal iso lo sa'onu al iso nishachal al iso tamim tiyeh b'nigud l'das ha-Rambam. In other words, the Ramban argues with the Rambam and holds that it's tagninus is a valid chachma. We should not be allowed to ask and seek out this chachma, but on the other hand, even though we violate Tumim Tiyah, we are not in any violation of any law. And if you turn to page 3, he has the Malbim, who really embellishes in his famous work, the Torah VaMitzvah, the Ramban Shita, about Tumim Tiyah. And he writes, Nichlal Bazeh, included in this essay, which is an Iser essay, is called Drishas Hasidus, to seek out someone who will tell you about the future, the af lo al yidei ofen amutar, even if it's a way that's reliable, which doesn't come under any of the lavim, but ki tismoch al Hashem, we have to rely on Hashem with regard to the asidos, with regard to the future. And strangely enough, how do we codify the halacha? The Gemara says in Masechta Pesachim, minayin shein sholim bekaldim. Now, who are these kaldim? And according to Tosus in Masechta Shabbos, the kaldim are the chozim bekochavim, the stargazers. And the Gemara in Pesachim quotes a pasuk tamim tiyeh mashem alkecha to prohibit seeking out the advice of the stargazers, which was really support the Ramban Shita, that Tamim Tiyah is an Isur, which includes asking for help from the stargazers in order to rely on them, whereas the Rambam would hold that this action of asking and conferring with the stargazers comes under the Isurim of Ma'onenu Menachesh. But if you take a look carefully at the Gemara Pesachim, the Gemara invokes the Pasuk Tamim Tiyah Mashem Elokecha. That's the source, meaning that the Chaldeim, the stargazers, according to Ramban's interpretation of the Gemara, which seems to be very attractive, is they are reliable. They are telling you something which has truth to it, but you're not allowed to ask them and seek out their help because of Tamim Tiyah, and therefore the Ramban says the Chiddush of Tamim Tiyah is something that in and of itself is mutter because it's a reliable science. It's also for you to ask them to be Shoel V'Doresh, and that's the separate Tamim Tiyah im Hashem Elokecha. According to the Rambam, there's no Chachma, there's no science to all these kinds of prophecies and the like, and therefore the Tamim Tiyah is just an Iser Klali, as we said before. But yet, if you take a look at the Gemara in Sanhedrin, which is on the right column of page 3, and I'm trying to fit in a lot because I know you have to go soon, there are two brises with regard to Menachesh. Tanur Rabbanon, Menachesh Zeh Omer, Pito Nafla Mipiv. The bread fell out of my mouth. Makelo Nafla Miado. My staff fell on the ground, my walking stick. Bino Kore Lo Mayachorov. My son is calling me from behind. Orev Korilo, there's a raven, a tzvi of Siko Bederech. Rashi says that he's walking from east to west, and the deer goes across from north to south and presents a barrier. Nachash miyamino v'shuol mismolo. All these things come under the Iser of Menachesh. And then there's a second brice in the next paragraph, other examples of Nichush. And that is called Menachashim Bechulda Beofos Ubedugim. This seems more of a science. They can tell about migration patterns amongst birds and fish and so forth and so on. And yet that too, if you predict the future, comes under the Iser of Lotanachshu Vlosa Oninu. Fine. But yet, And here's the Gemara Chulin that I indicated before. Rav Yochanan Badik Biyanuka. The Gemara tells us in Chulin Kufhe, on Sadieh, that Rav Yochanan wanted to go out on a trip, on a journey for a certain purpose. And he didn't know whether it was a good time or a bad time. Was it a good idea or a bad idea? So what did he do? Rashi says, he asked a child, Psokli Psuka, which verse in the Torah are you learning? Are you studying? And not only that, the Gemara tells us that Reb Shimon ben Elazar, Omer Bayis, Tinok Ve'isha Afal Pi, She'ein Nachesh, even though I can't be absolutely sure, but Yesh Simon, I can definitely rely on a Simon. I mean, a man builds a house, and he looks at the house, and it's beautiful. It's a good omen for him. He marries a woman, bless you, and he's happy with the marriage. It's a good sign. Rabbi Elazar says, "V'hu d'tchazek talsa zimne." It has to be a pattern that repeats itself over and over again. Then it becomes a reliable sign. But midivrei haGemara mevuar sheyeshnam simanim, there are certain signs and omens shemutal l'shtamish b'hem, that the Amoraim and even before that the Tanoim would rely on these signs. Utzrichim liyashim, we have to reconcile this with the Iser Nichush, and the Rambam comes up with a brand new idea. This is the Rambam in the same parak Yud Aleph, but Halacha Hey, and that's the left column on your page 3. He says the following, the Rambam. Misha Omar Dira Zusha Banisi Simon Tov Haisolai. I was able to build this beautiful home, or I bought a house in, an apartment in Baca, or in Ben Gamla, wherever it is. Isha Zusha Nasasi Behema Zusha Kanisi Mivureches Haisa. There must be some blessing from the heavens that I married this wonderful. And the Isha Kanisi, from the time that I purchased this animal, Isharti, I became very wealthy. V'chein hashoel etinok, eizet posik atalome. V'hu omer lo posik min abrochos, yismach. He's allowed to be happy, says the Rambam, all the Gevaras and Chulin that we saw. V'yomar zesimon tov, kol eilu v'chayotz men mutar. And here's the punchline. Hoel v'lo kivein maisov. He did not determine his choice of action based on these omens. V'lo nimna milasa, saw the opposite. He didn't prevent himself from going. Ela osa zeh simon liatzmo l'dover. In other words, he made his decision based on other variables and other considerations, but he added this as a simon for himself. Shekacha haya harezeh mutar. The Rambam says that all that we find in Shas about people making decisions, it's not that they determine their future based on those omens and signs. They've already made their decision and chosen a course of action based on variables and considerations. But, you know what? It could add to my simcha if I'm on the way and the child told me a pasuk. In other words, according to the Rambam, if Rav Aaron Kotler was trying to decide whether to go to America or stay in Europe, and he decided based on a pasuk, oh no, says the Rambam, he didn't decide based on the pasuk. The pasuk gave him a little extra strength or psychological, shall we say, joy, and so forth and so on.
He would have done it even if the pasuk would have been turned out to be something.
That's like what the Rambam would claim, you know. And if not, then we're in trouble because the Rambam holds that comes under Menachesh and Ma'oni.
Or a couple of pasuk after Ramban.
Could be. That's the question. Those who do Goral Agra, maybe they're going to pascal like the Ramban. We'll see within the Ramban's frame of reference something like Goral Agra to shoot a lottery and decide your future. According to the Ramban, there's a lot more leeway for doing such a thing. We have to see in Shulchan Aruch how we pascal. And I don't know, the question is, I don't know if you have to go already, so those who have to go, you know, please go. But he says, as a summary, that according, you see the paragraph Nimtza, and this is the summary, if you have to take anything with you for today, it's this paragraph Nimtza. He says that according to the Rambam, when the Gemara says you're allowed to ask a child his pasuk, that's only to add some simcha. If a person builds a house, or marries a good woman, and he sees bracha, he says, that's only to give him a good feeling about the past. But b'nigud l'kach, in contrast, asiyas ma'isa ba'asid al pisimanim, to determine your future based on these omens, asura l'das haramam li'olam. And then the Rambam says that what Eliezer did, the Eved Avram, and he said, well, if she comes and she offers me and my camels to drink, then she must be the right one for Yitzchak, my master. He says, "Ei menachshim, we're not allowed to do any sort of nichush." Ketzad hu anochash, says Rama. What is nichush? These omens. Those who say, "Well, the bread fell out of my this, the staff fell on the ground, and therefore any holech levakum ploni ayom, I'm not going to go today because of the simonim." And a person creates a simon for himself. He comes up with a new idea that if something happens, then it means I shouldn't go. If something happens this way, I should go. V'im lo ya'arali, and if it doesn't happen, I won't do it. Kill Eliezer, Eved Avraham. He gives Eliezer as the example. We're both saying, this is unbelievable. You know, we read the parsha of Eliezer, we say Joshua's about, you know, the Midas, HaChesed of Rivka, and so forth and so forth. We don't realize that, at least according to Rambam, what Eliezer did was a violation of the Isser Menachesh. Okay, he was a guy, but that's something else, the exact status of Eliezer. He says, V'chol kayotz b'dvarim el ha'kol osur, V'chol ha'osa maise mipnei dover mi'advarim. If he actually acts it out, makes his decision in the future based on the simonim, loka, he gets malchus for that. And if you want to learn about that, you have to come to my Wednesday night class in Masechta the Malchus. We still have one more block to learn. Okay? The Ravid goes ballistic on the Rambam. And the Ravid says that Shibush Gadol, this is an amazing mistake that the Rambam made. Sharei Dover Zem Mutaru Mutarhu, you're allowed to rely on all these omens. The Echoshav Al Tzadikim Kimosam, how can he think about Tzadikim who are as great as the Rambam himself, that Avera Zu, they did it Avera. And he goes on and he quotes a famous adage in Chazal that, you know, let the fires come down and burn him. He's really attacking the Rambam. So basically the Ravid has a whole different shita, and the Ravid shita can be interpreted in light of the Radak in Shmuel. Remember I told you about Yonasan, that Yonasan made for himself a simon. He says the Radak that Isur Nichush Nemarak, when is Nichush a violation? That's only in very specific simonim, says the Radak. And that is Shenogoben Bale Adeos Haros, the professionals. Only if the professionals have a kvius, choku minaglahem, about how to predict the future, that's an Isur Menachesh. However, if a person creates his own simon, like Eliezer did, or like Yonasan did when he went out to battle, those are permissible. We have, my friends, a very extreme, polar extreme machlokas, a controversy between the Rambam and the Ravid. Now, the Ravid is never easygoing on the Rambam, but this one I never saw before. I've seen some pretty heavy accusations of the Ravid, but this one really, this takes the cake. Yeah, the pulse of the Nura. Yeah. It's almost like he's using one of these omens against the Rambam. You know what I'm saying? How do we paskin la halacha? If you take a look on page 4 on the left side, and again we're just fast forwarding a little bit because of time, the Shulchan Aruch in Yoredei Simon Kuf Ayin Tes says that we are prohibited from asking the stargazers, or from using goralot, from using lotteries to determine our actions. And the Ramah adds, Mishum Shenemar Tomim Tia Im Hashem Elokecha. Whose opinion is the Ramah codifying here? By saying that asking, seeking out the stargaze, the horoscope and all that, is a violation of Tomim Tia? The Ramban. Because again, the Ramban says that although stargazing is a true science, but you're not allowed to seek it out, but it comes under that low Tomim Tia, which the Ramban wants to count in Taryag. Keep in mind that asking the stargazers is not an Iser per se, but it's rather, according to the Ramban, a true science, reliable. But you're not allowed to ask for that information. And this all reflects what Rashi says in Masechta Chulin, that mutu lishtamish besimon kesimon bi'alma, that's not considered an isur. And the Ramban shita is almost identical, or at least very close and proximate to the shita of the Ravid, and we saw it in the Radak, that there are many different ways of creating simonim. And therefore, in the next paragraph, the Shulchan Aruch in the same Simon Kufay in Tessin Yoredeh writes, Bayis Tinok V'Isha Afal Pishein Nichush Yesh Simon, which would seem to be a reflection of Rashi and Chulin, that there is such a thing as a simon. We're not going as far as the Radak would go, that you're allowed to create these simonim, that we're not saying. The Ramah says, Yesh Omrim, the other mutal asos lo simon, bidover shiovol yosid. And the basis is Eliezer, Avram, Yonasan. And here the Ramah, the Yesh Omrim, is reflecting the sheet of the Ravid. And then he says, V'yesh osrim, and there are those who are absolutely opposed to it. He writes, Haholech b'tom u'boteach b'Hashem, the best way of going is to rely on Hashem, chesed yisov v'venu, God will come to his aid. The Yesh Omrim is the Rambam Shita, whereas the Matirim is the Radak, and the Ravid, and the Ran accepts that Shita as well. And therefore, here's how he summarizes it, if a person does this kind of nichush, and there's no science to it, there's no logic to it, and yet he wants to rely on this without time, without svara, asur. That's also going to everyone. Where do we have leniency? That's only if a person can rely on a simon, either because the stargazers are professionals and they know the science of astrology, or because he created some sort of logical sign to himself, which is meaningful for himself, and he has reason to believe that what he saw is going to predict the future. Again, not as a sorcery or a nichush or an omen, but because of some sort of natural science. And those in the last paragraph are simonim shehuchzeku b'mitzius v'yesh bem higayon usvara muta l'das rov rishonim lismoch aleim. And the Rambam might asser it, even though it has a logic to it, if there's an element of predicting the future not based on pure science. And therefore the Rambam says that Eliezer and Yonatan, even though they had some sort of logic to their simonim, but since they decided and determined their future actions based on these omens, the Rambam says that's prohibited. According to many Rishonim, it is permissible. And therefore he writes, okay, I wasn't able to photocopy the last paragraph, which is Gorolos. He says, those who are knowing to do Gorolos, different kind of lotteries, in order to predict the future, according to the Rambam, it should be totally prohibited to determine your future based on a lottery. However, he says that you can do it according to the Beit Yosef, based on the Ramban, Lasos Behem Simon. It's not an absolute Isur, and therefore the Gaon of Vilna, according to this tradition, created this kind of a Goral Agra, against the opinion of the Rambam. But as we said before, it's against the Rambam, but it might be a reflection of the Shita of the Ramban. But you know, the truth is that even the Ramban would probably be opposed to these kind of lotteries, because they don't have any scientific basis to them, and therefore to seek out this kind of proposition would be a violation of Tamim Tiyam Hashem Elokecha. And therefore the thought I want to leave with you, or the question I want to leave with you today, is those who employ these kind of lotteries and will rely on the Goral Agra, the question is whether or not that's permissible, even according to the Ramban, because it's not a science. In fact, they say about Rabbi Ari Levin, I forget after which campaign, maybe I think in 1956, the Sinai campaign, if you're familiar, and they didn't know how to identify bodies, of Chayalim, he used the Goral Agra, and it was unbelievable how, like, a pasuk of Sheva Binyamin would show up, and he knew that this body was Binyamin. I mean, it's wild things, you know. I'm not telling you to, you know, you may want to read it and see if you rely on the history of it, but it's a pretty accurate history. I'm not talking about pigeons for hepatitis, you know, that nobody knows exactly how that works, but that's definitely been proven over and over again. I mean, the pigeons just die on the spot. What?
I heard from a first-hand witness that it worked on him.
Right, but do we know? I don't know if we know the science of it. Do we?
No.
We don't know the science. It's mind-boggling.
Is there a?
And over and over again, it's been proven.
Does this apply to flipping a coin?
Flipping a coin, I would say the following. Let's go back to the lottery of Parshas Pinchas. Why isn't that a violation of Simonim and Nichush and so forth? So some of the poskim say that in Hilchas Kinyanim, again, you have to know the sugya, which is called Asmachta. I don't know if you're familiar with that, which has to do with gambling and so on and so on. But leaving out the question of Asmachta, when we make a Kinyan and we agree that we're going to divvy up a certain possession, a piece of property, based on a lottery, that's a lot different than predicting the future. It's halach of kinyanim. Now, true that lahalacha in Shok Hosh and Mishpat, I don't think you could make a kinyan based on a lottery because of this principle called asmachta. But at the time of the dividing up, whatever the word I'm looking for, of Eretz Yisrael into various shvatim, and some rishonim say into various mishpachas, and each one was allotted in a separate section, they used the goral. There, the Torah itself obligated us to do the goral. And therefore, since there was a mitzvah to divide up Eretz Yisrael pi goral, the kinyan was chal memela. The possession and the ownership acquisition was a result of the mitzvah of goral. So again, there, you're talking about flipping a coin. Let's say, for example, I make an agreement with you. You know, the heads I win and tails you lose, right? That's what we used to say. And therefore, whatever happens, happens, you know. Then if you agree to my conditions, you know. Again, I would not necessarily advocate flipping a coin because I think you'll always lose. No, I'm just joking. But I never win in a flip a coin. I always lose. But again, if it's an agreement between two people.
At a sports game?
Like in terms of like choosing something, you know.
Oh, so that's a problem. That would come under this issue. That's an excellent example of this issue. People would decide whether to bet on the black team or the white team based on flipping a coin. That's exactly what we're talking about.
So let's flip a coin. I think that's just the way of being fair.
Yes, so I'm saying that's a kind of a Kenyan relationship. In other words, who's going to be the Socher, who's going to be the Maskir, who's going to be the Poel, and who's going to be the Balabayit? That we can decide based on any agreement that we have. Again, there might be an issue in Asmachta, but...
What if there is no actual reason to do this or that, and you just want in encouragement to do one thing?
So that seems to be, according to most poskim, mutter. Meaning it's a simon... That will give me an extra. I've already made my decision,
or even
and I want a little extra. You know, let me. You know, like I've decided I'm going on a flight to Europe. You know, to celebrate my anniversary. My wife and I are going on a trip, and then you know I have hesitations because you know it costs a lot of money and so forth. And then I call up my travel agent. He tells me you just got the last two tickets, and you got the window seat. And you got special kosher food, you're like everything fit into place. Oh, that's a simon minishmai. But I've already made my decision.
Yeah, but sometimes you don't have one, like you don't want dafka this one or that one, you just don't mind. And then you say, okay, let's just flip just to help me decide on the thing.
Wow. I don't know, that's the gray area already. I don't know. That's a good kasha. We're going to have to write tshuvas on this. You know. Send me an email and I'll try to figure it out.
You're not believing, you're not giving any power to the coin. You're saying, I recognize that this is random. I don't say this is a message from the gods or God or...
Excellent. Yeah, Jonathan's right.
Saying, well,
yeah.
I recognize that it's random and that's what
Maybe
I want.
Maybe it's just, like you say, a random selection. You know, it's not
that it is. That's what I want. I want some random.
We can't choose one side over the other because that would be giving one an advantage. So let's pick a random one.
I would even say that I want, like, in my menu, a certain amount of randomness. I want, like, my menus every week. I want my menus every week. I don't want the same foods every week, so I want one dish to be decided randomly. So I have a big list of dishes, and I choose randomly which dish because it was up to me.
Well, you put it in a little takim, and then you choose one out—a real lottery, right?
Yeah, then it's more exciting.
But it doesn't say here that it's not. We only said that you're not allowed.
But the purpose of my discussion today was to raise the issues with you, and I really think this is a relevant topic.
At a ball game.
And it happens, you know, it happens all the time. We don't realize how often, you know. When I was a kid, we used to say, "Don't step on a line."
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I wonder if that doesn't, you know, smack of an Isa Nichush. But again, it didn't occur to me at the time. And we do all sorts of things, you know, don't go under this, and don't, you know, it, you know what I'm talking about, which side of the street you walk on.
Yeah, people flipping a coin is something we do to this day.
And a lot of this is influenced by this, you know, that there are certain people, and it's a Christian thing, that, you know, the Black Fridays and this, that, and the other thing, or, you know, they have knock on wood, and this is penetrated into the Jewish culture, unfortunately, and it's really borrowed from a foreign. That's why the Torah says, "B'chukosem lo teilechu." You know, would we really have wood, to separate.
Would knocking on wood be over this?
I don't know if it'd be over this. It might be over b'chukosem lo teilechu. We didn't discuss that.
Yeah, wow. It's a simon when you to knock on wood when you touch something and you won't get shocked by static electricity. Mm. It's a simon.
But, or a rabbit's foot. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Again, I'm going back to my childhood. You know, back in New York City. You know, we had these different things that crept in. You know, 13, the number 13. Oh, that was a scary one. You know.
So we never said
that comes from Christianity.
But we never said that we can't practice this. Meaning, like, you can't listen to it. But like, if I wanted to open up like a future telling shop, you know, and just start like, you know, making money off of people, that's not like,
yeah, that would probably be that would probably come under about 15 different lavim, you know, I could think of, you know, Los Ignovu and Oshek and Lesheker and who knows what other lavim, you know, the. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you very much. Everyone should have a Shavuot Tov. Next Sunday I will be fasting, so I'm not going to come in.
Why is the computer
fasting
next Sunday, or is it two Sundays? When is it? Oh, two Sundays. Okay.
This Friday is
your choice. Okay. I jumped the gun a little bit. Yeah. So we'll have. So next Sunday should be good for us. Okay, Mirtz Hashem, and then we'll take a Bein Hazman a little bit. Okay, then. Yeah. All right. Thanks everyone for coming.
Do you think that your computer is better than flipping a coin? I don't see how.
Because it's pseudo-random.